So good morning, everybody. We're going to call the meeting of the TRPA Environmental Improvement Transportation and Public Outreach Committee meeting. It is Wednesday, April 27th, and it's 9:16 a.m. And the first item on the agenda is the roll call to determine a quorum. And Maria, are you going to be the one to do the quorum this morning?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair.
All right. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Ms. Conrad Seda? Ms. Faustinos?
Present.
Ms. Gustafson? Ms. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Ms. Novosel?
Here.
Ms. Williamson?
Here.
Mr. Yates?
Here.
And Ms. Conrad Seda?
I'm here. Sorry, I was not showing up as a panelist.
Mr. Chair? We have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you. I'll now go over the meeting rules for the day. First, to observe and participate in the meeting, please go to www.trpa.gov. Select April 27th, 2022, Governing Board Meeting on the calendar, and follow the link to the webinar, and members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. To participate in the committee meeting with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking raise hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you'll be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have used the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To the committee members, if you wish to speak, you can also raise your hand in Zoom. You can find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen. A reminder, committee members may not use the chat box to make any comments or to have sidebar conversations. So please, everyone, remember to mute your mic unless speaking in order to cut down on background noise. And then finally, if committee members are able and have not already done so, please turn on your cameras because I think we have the bandwidth now to do that. So with that, those are the ground rules for the morning. So the next item is the approval of the agenda. Staff, are there, or Julie, are there any changes to the agenda this morning?
No changes, Mr. Chair.
All right. So then I'll go ahead and deem the agenda approved. Next up is agenda item number 2, which is approval of the minutes. There's a set of minutes from February 23rd, 2022 on page 19 of your packet. Any committee members wish to make any changes to the minutes? Hearing none, then I'll go ahead and entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve.
All right. Thank you, Alexis. So we have a motion to approve the minutes. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So with that, minutes are approved. And then we'll go on to the meat of our discussion this morning. And we're going to be on agenda item number 3, which is the Transportation Funding Initiative, looking for a briefing and staff direction. Information is found on page 291 of your packet. And with that, we're going to have a presentation from our consultant, but I'll pass it over to Julie first to kick off with any introductory comments. So, Julie, please take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and the public. I am Julie Reagan, Deputy Director and Chief of External Affairs at TRPA. I will do a quick introduction and then pass this over to our team from Regional Government Services, who's been a consulting partner on behalf of TRPA and the Tahoe Transportation District. And we have several of our staff, respective staff members from TRPA and TTD, on the line this morning to participate, answer any questions. I'm really pleased. It's a beautiful day in Lake Tahoe. It's exciting to talk to you about transportation because a lot of us who've been working on this as with you for many years feel that there is movement to crack the nut that's been very elusive to get more transportation investment in infrastructure in our beautiful community. And we have some good updates to provide, a lot more work to do. But let me go to the next slide and frame up what you'll hear today from our team at RGS Consulting. We have been talking about a regional set of transportation priorities as part of the regional transportation plan, which the board adopted in the capacity of being an MPO last April of 2021. And that's a very big plan. That's a $2.5 billion plan. But you'll recall there was a $20 million annual gap for funding that we are trying to fill with this initiative. And it's been an all hands on deck shared approach. And that is what we mean by this 777 funding strategy. Instead of breaking this out, or instead of looking at this as a $400+ million hole in the RTP, what we've been able to do is build on the success of our EIP, Environmental Improvement Program model, where each sector has a committed share target. And that share would be $7 million new from the federal government, $7 million new from both states, $7 million from the local governments and private sector annually. And we've got some good progress along this front. And we all feel like we're finally moving the ball down the field in a long journey that's been very difficult for Tahoe, being a rural community that then swells to an annual visitation base of 15 million. We've made some progress on communications around this. We have some products to show you along the way that will help all of you in your respective constituency conversations to articulate what it is we're trying to fund in the way of projects and benefits. So I will now turn it over to Bob Spencer with Regional Government Services, and we can go to the next slide, Tracy, and Bob will give you an overview of where we have been in the last couple of months since we last talked to you in this capacity in your policy guidance and direction for this committee. So Bob, take it away.
Great, thanks, Julie. What you have in very fine print here is an example of some really hard work that the TTIC has been doing, the Tahoe Transportation Improvement Committee, if I have that acronym right, committee of staff from all the agencies that have come together to identify an initial list of priority projects that have unfunded needs. So this is not the whole RTP by any means. These are the projects, high priority projects, that are still looking for funding. We're looking at this as roughly a 10-year, call it a 10-year CIP. It's aligned with our, not only our RTP, but our state, federal, regional, and local policy objectives. So you have a merger here of the local jurisdiction CIPs and their regionally significant transportation projects that would overlap with the RTP. And then we're looking across the state and federal sector, in the middle columns, and then the local private sector in the second to last two columns, to identify what's secured and what's needed for funding. So great work by the staff of all the agencies coming together for this committee. This is an ongoing process to continue to refine, update, and identify what the priorities are for Tahoe and where we should be seeking funding and how much funding we need. Go to the next slide. So there's a tremendous amount of benefits that come out of these projects. And we understand that it's critical to members of this committee and for our broader audiences, public and legislatures, that these projects be characterized not just in their actual description, but what are they going to deliver in terms of safety and congestion relief, improve the quality of life, the environment of the lake, the local economy, and also, of course, address equity issues, ensuring that all people have equal access to these beautiful recreational resources around the lake. So those are being quantified and connected to each project as we speak. If we could go to the next slide. This is the shared funding commitment that Julie referred to. 7 million federal, 7 million state, 7 million local private. It's part of the full RTP. That's what this needed funding, how we're dividing out the sectors and their contribution. If we go to the next slide, we're going to be tracking this by sector. The state sector actually will be broken out to California 2/3, Nevada 1/3. So we'll be looking at this as we go, and we have some preliminary results, progress that I want to show you in the next slide. Well, there we have a little animation as to where we're headed. I forgot about the animation. So under the federal sector, we've got some great commitments, very solid commitments coming through the community funded project for SR28. We've got $2 million awarded there. You can see the list on the right hand side. We have new transit funding for operations, which is always a very difficult service to fund, coming through at about $750,000 a year. That's a result of the new Infrastructure Act. Of course, the Fannie Bridge project has been very successful in landing federal grants, as well as increased formula funding across several programs federally. So this is where, you know, this project list that I started with that the TTIC put together is really playing a great job coordinating these asks. So now we've got one list and we can talk as a region about where we should be focusing our efforts and coordinating these asks of our federal and our state agencies. So that's a big improvement, big step forward in the process or the CIP planning and, you know, funding process for the region. So if we go to the next slide, the state sector for California, very excited that we've got legislative sponsorship for a $4.5 million a year direct appropriation over 5 years. So that's California's share of the $7 million. That will be moving through the legislative process. We're hoping with the budget surplus numbers coming in to Sacramento that we're optimistic that we'll be able to get this funding. So and we're getting legislative co-sponsors as we speak. There's a lot of interest in Tahoe, a lot of recognition of Tahoe's special role as a recreation center for the entire state, and the need for the state to step up. Because as a rural community, as Julie alluded to, you know, the funding is just not there locally as it may be in more urban areas. Fannie Bridge application there is noted. And we are also still pursuing some other, long-term ongoing sources, adjusting formula funds potentially from the state and continuing to get support for priority projects. Now let's go to the next slide. The Nevada sector, this is the $2.5 million a year goal, their share, the Nevada state share of the $7 million state sector. We do have EIP bonds under consideration, and there is a Conserve Nevada program that's got a set aside or an allocation for the, I believe, the East Shore Trail. The State Infrastructure Bank, that's a loan, so won't be as helpful because it requires a payment source to repay that loan. And that works great for utilities and, you know, public enterprise and agencies that have ongoing, you know, fee and charge revenue streams. But that's not typically found in the transportation sector. And we, of course, are looking for a direct budget appropriation, too, similar to the California side. We do have the next big step here is going before the oversight committee in May and bringing proposals there directly for Nevada support. Okay, and I think we can move on. Nothing else to report there. Now on the local side, a lot of activity around the microtransit on the South Shore. So agencies have really stepped up their commitment to making that happen. That's part of the event center project, you may remember. So we've had broad participation there, and that's a really exciting example of local agencies coming together to fund a priority regional transportation need. Placer County also has significant match monies they're looking at from their TOT. Their TOT revenues and their general fund for their projects. The big new revenue source here on the left-hand side under consideration is this zonal congestion fee. And I'll just take a minute on that. We do have a separate transportation consultant engaged that has experience worldwide with congestion management fees. Applying one in a recreation area like this, as opposed to a urban commute zone, is going to be a new and exciting effort for TRPA. And we hope to get some sketch level revenue estimates here in the next 30 to 60 days to see just what that might generate. I think to sort of manage expectations here, I think we should at least assume that we're not going to be able to generate any more revenue than needed to fund the improvements in those corridors themselves, the transit improvements, the parking lot improvements, the maintenance improvements, the trail improvements. But if we can just do that, of course, those two corridors are significantly impacted by that day use recreation peak during the summer. And if we could, you know, hence the focus on those corridors, and if we can just address those again, that really will take, mitigate a very significant pain point in the basin right now. New and expanded funding sources, the TOT, sales tax, et cetera, other sources are still under consideration, as well as new private partnerships. So we're doing well on the local private sector front. All right. I think at this point, the next slide, Julie, do you want to take it over from here? The Oversight Committee, would you like me to continue?
I'm happy to, Bob. Thank you for those remarks. Again, everyone, Julie Reagan, Deputy Director at TRPA. I am happy to run through this. And then when we go into discussion, Mr. Chair, you may want to elaborate from the state of Nevada's perspective as well. But just to refresh the committee, we have a resolution that was adopted in the last session of the legislature in Nevada. Of course, we're in an every other year situation where we're in the interim right now. And TRPA actually has a legislative oversight committee that meets during the interim. We've had one introductory meeting. We have a substantive meeting coming up on May 27th, where we will be reporting out on our progress in what was outlined in the resolution. And that was really to come up with a transportation, you know, bi-state action plan, specifically looking at regional priority projects, identifying benefits for those, and we're working through those details, as Bob alluded to earlier. Also looking at the impacts of transportation and reducing greenhouse gases, advancing bi-state climate goals and targets, and identifying barriers, equity, and inclusion challenges, as well as the funding challenges, of course, which we've spent so much time working on. And we will be delivering a report to the committee in advance of that meeting and providing remarks to the six members of that committee. And certainly we'll let you all know of the information around that. It will be in person at TRPA, and there'll be a field tour associated with that in the morning. The meeting will be in the afternoon of May 27th. So that is what I have on that slide. Bob, do you want to keep going on this one now? If you want to pick this back up, you can rock it to the end.
Sure. Happy to, Julie. Thanks very much. So we've done a lot of work as well in the last month to really up our communication game here, because we understand that we might have fallen behind a little bit as we proceeded with a lot of detailed and intricate conversations with our partners. And we realized that we really need to also at the same time reach out to the public and make sure that everybody is being informed and bringing everybody along, moving at the speed of trust on this initiative. So we've developing an action plan. The plan will, summarize the TTIC process with those regionally significant projects, how they align with our public policy objectives, identify the benefits that we've been alluding to, greenhouse gas reduction, et cetera, and identify those funding needs. So if we could go to the next slide. These outreach materials will be intended for various audiences, the general public, decision makers, state and federal officials. We're going to have a larger full summary 8-page briefing, briefing brochure, for general education, but then we'll have some 2-pagers that target specific audiences, as we need those as appropriate. Next slide. And then I think this is the wrap up here. This is where we are in our process. We've, Got some TTD board meeting coming up. The TTD board has endorsed the 777 initiative, and they're having a special meeting at the beginning of May to further refine the local private sector involvement in that initiative. We'll be then moving to the Nevada Oversight Committee on May 27th with specific asks for Nevada state support. And of course, we have the annual Tahoe Summit coming up in August. So I think with that, we can I can turn it back to the chair for questions, comments, and discussion.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Julie. Great presentation, and it is exciting to see a lot of the progress that's been made. Real quick, I do want to clarify, on the May 27th meeting with the Nevada Oversight Committee, Julie did a great job basically going over the resolution and what the bi-state committee is on the hook to present to this oversight committee. They won't necessarily be making any recommendations at that meeting. This is largely an informational meeting. Final recommendations and asks are done during their work session at their final meeting, and that will be in August. But this upcoming May meeting is very important to get all the issues on the table and get all our ideas on the table in order to set up for a legislative ask at the last meeting in August. So anyway, with that, I will open it up to the committee for any questions or comments on the presentation.
Jim, Alexis and I have hands raised.
Oh, it's not showing up on my screen. So thank you. Okay, there we go. So go ahead, Ashley. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for the presentation. I know when we talked in February, we had talked about the dramatic differences in the cost of implementation for each of these proposals that are included in the presentation. We talked about in February and, you know, looking again 2 months later, I didn't note that that was discussed, right? If you think about the cost of implementation of each of those options to raise the dollars, it varies in terms of where the jobs land to implement those policies, where the costs come from, and where the benefits come from. And I just think we really need to be looking at those. Additionally, you know, in thinking about the congestion fee, I think we've been pretty clear that it's not for, I mean, I'll speak for myself. I guess I've been pretty clear that that is not high on my list in terms of a cost of implementation preference, nor a policy preference. And so seeing it continually in the discussion and spending consultant time on that and staffing time on that is somewhat concerning to me. And so, I'd really like to ask for that cost of implementation comparison and for hearing from some of the committee members where, you know, it's clear that supporting a congestion fee will be very challenging for us. And so spending significant public dollars on exploring that feels, like I said, concerning to me.
Great. Thank you, Ashley. I appreciate those comments. And I do, you know, particularly I hear you regarding, you know, the different levels of estimated total costs and kind of diving down into the cost of implementation is probably something that needs to be done. I think our legislative body would be interested in that as well. Alexis, I see your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that Washoe County is also supporting micro modal transit at $100,000 for this next fiscal year, and that was not in the presentation. And then I was just curious on the projects for Washoe County. I saw just like road improvements, and we've got some visioning going on for future projects that we want to see on 28. So I just want to make sure that those are included, and I'm not really sure who's coordinating with Washoe County and how I can make sure that the right information is getting to the TRPA team.
Thank you, Alexis. I don't know, Bob or Julie or perhaps Nick, whoever's been working with the TTIC, do you have a comment regarding Washoe County's participation and
sure.
Maybe thank adding to the list or maybe just in general? Because I kind of had the same question on the list as well. It looks a little different than what came out of the bi-state. Maybe it's just packaged a little different. So maybe touch on that, how this list came together. And I did have the question. It always strikes me when I see something where one jurisdiction has like maintenance and another jurisdiction doesn't, that always seems a, it seems like it should be all or nothing. But I don't, maybe a little bit more thought on how that list was put together would be great. Thank you.
Yep, sure, Mr. Chair. I will. I'm going to ask Bob to jump in and also to address Ashley's comments as well, and then Nick Haven can round that out. They've been working with the TTIC, which is the implementation committee.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. For the comments from Board Member Conrad Seda, costs of implementation and the allocation of those costs, maybe I need a little more clarification on that. We certainly have total project costs identified. And if you want, we can look at how those break out. And the lead agency pretty much indicates for a project where it's going to be located. So that would be an indication of where, say, the economic developments are most likely to fall. Maybe I could get a little more clarification on the additional detail you're looking for.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the policy cost of implementation, right? Where would the staffing come from to implement each of these policies that we're comparing? Is that you think about a congestion fee, right? And there needs to be collection of those fees, assignment of those fees out to people. And so the jobs necessarily aren't located in the basin, right? They could be located anywhere. Whereas some of these other programs, the jobs would be located in the basin or coming from the basin. So when you think about cost of implementation, what do these public entities need to take on in terms of staffing, infrastructure, and long-term management of the policies? What is that cost like on an annual basis? What percentage of the funds derived from those policies goes into implementation, right? Is it 10%, yeah. 20%? So ultimately, if you're looking to raise X amount of dollars from a particular policy, you need to factor in that, again, the cost of implementation. And from the perspective of the locals, are those jobs going to fall where the impacts of the policies are accruing? And that's really what I'd like to see a comparison of when we're thinking about these different ways of getting to the 777 formula, right? So it helps us understand the value of one policy over another for the locals versus for the region versus for the state.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, the capital projects, that's pretty much one-time funding. So there you're talking about the economic benefits typically of a construction project. And we can look at providing more detail there as the project descriptions get fleshed out. Where the spending, would ultimately occur or where the direct benefits would ultimately fall might depend to some degree on the contractor selected. You know, of course, Tahoe being a rural area has very limited, public works contracting, or private sector firms available for these kind of large construction projects. So we could look at where those might fall outside the basin, if that would be helpful. So that would be the direct impacts, direct benefits of the construction spending. The ongoing maintenance of those projects, those are captured in the in a separate line item, the street maintenance, street road maintenance and bike and trail maintenance line items in the RTP. So the ongoing costs would then fall to separate tracking. And then as far as staffing, the lead agencies are committed to, of course, as the lead agency, provide the staffing necessary to get these projects over the finish line. It's a different story when you talk about the ongoing transit services that are a major line item there and the TDD's work there. You know, those ongoing transit services, of course, that's ongoing expenditures for bus drivers, et cetera, in the basin. Again, the employment base in the basin is so small that a lot of times those bus drivers are recruited from outside the basin. But again, we can look at that. We can look at that as well and bring that kind of detail back to the committee if that's the committee's wish. Then on the congestion management fee, we can also identify where that spending would occur, how that would be implemented, and those costs that would be an ongoing program, and those costs would be identified as part of any project moving forward, how that would be funded and where that expenditure would occur. Let's see. And then to Member Hill's comments, we are looking for a deeper partnership with Washoe County. And it's my understanding, although my colleague Josh Metz has been more deeply involved in the TTIC discussions, it's my understanding that we're looking for staff from Washoe to connect more deeply with and to make sure that we've got the priority projects identified from Washoe. So if Member Hill could you know help us link up, that might be very helpful. I don't know if Nick or I see Carl's hand is up as well. Wanted to add anything to those responses.
Yeah, just really briefly, Nick Haven, Transportation Manager at TRPA. Miss Hill, to your question, we have been contacting and working with Mr. Dave Solero, and I think we are well aware of what's going on in Incline and the mobility planning work that's going on. And as Bob said, this is an ongoing process. So we look forward to including the Washoe County projects as they, you know, become more ready to include. We're happy to do that because this is an ongoing iterative process, right? And then back to Jim's question of how is this list developed? You know, what's its intention and the relationship maybe with what was produced previously by the bi-state? And I think this is more of an iteration that includes those bi-state priorities. So if you look at the four big priorities that were included in the last round of the bi-state consultation, those are all in here. There's, you know, the Placer County Transit priority lanes. There's SR-28 corridor enhancements. There's Highway 89 Emerald Bay enhancements. And then there was the US 50 project in South Shore. All of these projects are in there. What you're seeing now is actually a deeper partnership with the local governments around local projects that are regionally significant. So you're essentially seeing a regional capital improvement program that drives implementation of the RTP. And so as we've advanced in this process and we've begun to look at this 777 distribution of funding, as well as even within the local seven, distributing that amongst the local governments and trying to better understand what those local governments can contribute, that connection to projects that are delivered by those local agencies that are regionally significant is important, right? For political support, for any, you know, increases in TOT, sales tax going out to voters, there needs to be that connection to those communities while still retaining regional significance and contributions to regional mobility. So I hope that helps in how this list was generated.
Thank you, Nick and Bob. That does help. So I guess my question would be, and I certainly understand that it's an iterative process, and I think I heard that, you know, there's a desire to get more Washoe County involvement in order to help with the list. I guess, you know, I have my eye, you know, as Julie mentioned, there is the legislative committee coming up May 27th where they're asking for a priority list. So that list, the goal should be to have a final list, recognizing it'll be a little organic, but at least that everybody has participated in. So this list that you presented to us, is this what the TIC feels is the final list to present to the May committee, or does more work need to be done on this list to present to the May committee? I'm a little confused on where we're at this point in time.
May I?
Yeah, Carl, if you've got the answer to that, then
yeah, please. Jim. So to reinforce what Nick has told you, as well as to answer your question a little bit further, this list is what the technical side is proposing, is offering up to the policy side here as the recommendation. And that's what's been vetted by and discussed with the public works departments of the local jurisdictions. And now we've also been having meetings, and with Commissioner Hill, we have one here coming up to talk about this with each of the local elected officials, because for the first time, and I think this is a very qualitative advancement here that is a little bit obscured. In this discussion that's been going on with the local jurisdictions, the public works in thinking regionally, this is a significant step in what's been taken here and what's been accomplished in the dialogue that has become a very, very synergistic discussion that for the first time I can tell you in my 30 years of working in the basin and with transportation, this is significant. So the discussion that's been going on at the local level and how that's been bridging from the public works side to the elected side has been a very important development here. And this list has helped foster that discussion. So this is the technical recommendation. It's up to the policy side whether you want to refine that list or not. It does include the types of things that have been discussed in the bi-state for the last 5 years, as well as has a little more thinking from the local side of what is significant to us locally, but also regionally. And that's a real big step forward. So that's what I have to add to answer your question and to the committee's consideration here. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that help. So, and I do get that this is really the technical side. Is it TTD or TRPA's thought that the check-in on the policy side, will that be done before presenting to the legislative committee? I'm trying to figure out what's the vision for the timing leading up to that May 27th meeting?
Yes, we will have a final list. And Carl's meeting here on the 4th of May is a critical juncture. A week from today, once we wrap up that interaction with the TTD board, we should be able to finalize that list. I don't see it moving much from what we just displayed there. It just has to take some final checks on the policy side.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I could add Julie Reagan again, what we plan to do is to summarize some key examples of that list in that outreach document that we put up on the screen. So we have an actual collateral material to provide to the committee, and then the detailed list will be an appendix in the overall report that we'll be submitting a week in advance of that committee meeting on May 27th. So yes, we will be submitting a list. You know, that was what we were asked to do. But I appreciate Carl Hastie's color around this list development. For those of you kind of checking in here and there at these meetings, it sounds like, you know, this list is taking a long time, and it is, but we've had some breakthroughs in connecting up the technical side with the policy side, and that will be coming together in this final package. And as you indicated, Mr. Chair, I mean, this is not a silver bullet solution recommendation, but this is an overall look at what we think is realistic to run at, you know, in the coming years. And there will be some more analysis needed in, you know, in some of those policy ideas.
Great. Thank you, Julie. And thank you, Carl. And I appreciate the extra information. I think before I go to public comment, I do see Ashley's hand up. So Ashley, did you have another question or comment?
Sorry, I think just a comment that, you know, I think based on the presentation today, the presentation in February, the conversations I've had in between, I don't know that this would be ready for a broader policy discussion about the sort of the costs and benefits beyond just the financial costs and benefits, but the, you know, the social costs and benefits, the jobs costs and benefits, the broad range of the types of things we're trying to achieve with this bi-state action and with a broad group of people represented on this board and trying to think about, you know, bringing benefits not only to the locals, but to the visitors who come into the basin. So I think just these past two presentations between February and today, I haven't seen enough progress to make a recommendation that this would be really ready for legislative members in California, for executive branch members in California. You know, it doesn't really weigh enough of those trade-offs in thinking about how to come to the decisions on funding sources, implementation plans, and policy decisions. So I would like to see more work on it before those things go forward.
Thank you, Ashley. And I think the staff probably took good notes on those comments for sure. We do have the May 27th meeting coming up, so I think we have some work to do. Bill, I see that you raised your hand as well.
Ashley raises a lot of good points, and it's I guess I'm equally concerned. I would boil it down to what's in it for me if I was a Nevada legislator. Are we going to answer that question? I mean, it really does kind of boil down when you go to state legislatures, legislators, executive committee members. It's like, okay, we understand what your need is, but what is it? What's it boiled down to? Because there's a lot of competition for funds. And so what Ashley's really asking for is like, all right, we understand that this is what Tahoe would like to have. How does it translate to something that's really beneficial for me as a politician to be able to stick my neck out for funding part of the 777 process? I think that's critically important. And I do think that ties back to what was talked about earlier, is the communication that's ongoing over what we've been trying to do. And also, Jim, I just sense from your body language and just for the questions you're asking, it's like, oh my gosh, we got this thing coming up on May 27th that we really answered these questions. I would take it to heart, staff, you've talked among yourselves and you've talked to the TTIC committee and the public works folks. But now we have to translate all that into what are the true benefits and costs of this, and who is going to benefit, and how do we know that these projects are going to be carried out so that they accomplish what we say they're going to do. And that's what I think is from Ashley being, I think, much more involved in government than I've been in quite a few years. She's really asking the hard questions she's probably been asked several times at state EPA about what really is the true cost or what's the true benefits here. And I think we need to drill that down before May 27th. Otherwise it could be, you know, we could have a very nice meeting with the Nevada Legislative Oversight Committee and they kind of nod their head and say, thank you very much. And nothing really much moves along. So I think Ashley's right on.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, you mentioned my body language. I'm not a good poker player, obviously. But I'm not comfortable unless I have a certain level of angst. So it's just sort of my nature. I have a lot of confidence in staff that this could be pulled together. I do think that there is more work to be done. I am mindful that one of the slides that mentioned benefits, which I do think is key, is to really explain, you know, again, what's in it for me or what's the environmental benefit. And that slide did say to be updated. So I'm mindful that staff recognizes that more work needs to be done in that area. And so I think it'll just have to get done. And I appreciate both your comments, Ashley and Bill as well. I do see two more hands up, and then I do want to go to public comment because I think we're running long. So Alexis, I'll go to Alexis and then Haley. So Alexis, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think Bill said it best. And I think that, you know, when we meet as local governments, we can kind of hammer out what the projects will look like and how they can excite the Nevada Legislature Committee. I have some ideas, and so I don't want folks to get too stressed. I think that we're going to get there. It's just it's tough when me on the policy side, I'm doing a lot of work and perhaps I'm not looping in my public works team. So I feel like that may be a disconnect happening. So I'm looking forward to clarifying some of those things and adding to the list to get folks excited about what we're planning.
Great. Thank you, Alexis. That's good to know. Haley, please.
Thanks so much, Jim. I just wanted to also thank Ashley so much for her comments and Bill for really thoughtfully pulling together those comments as well. As you and I know, Jim, we've been in front of the Nevada legislature and those are questions that they'll ask. And I think that your point though is well taken. This is a conversation, right? Staff, huge confidence in staff. I think it's okay to say we still have work to do here. But I think having some of those real costs and benefits concreted for that presentation is going to be really helpful. So I just wanted to just thank Ashley for raising that. But also thank staff, you know, this can be accomplished, right? But I think that those are certainly questions the legislature is going to want to ask. So I think to the extent we have that available going into that meeting or more so, I think that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Haley. I agree. And I'm confident that staff's got that message regarding the additional work that needs to be done. I think with that, I'll take it over and let's go to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand by clicking the raise hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on the phone, and you'll be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. So I think Maria is managing public comments. So Maria, do we have anybody in the queue?
Mr. Chair, I'm just gonna give it one moment to see if anybody raises their hand. And it looks like we have no hands raised to comment on this item.
All right, thank you, Maria. So with that, I'll close public comment on this item. Kind of take it back to the committee for one last chance for comments or questions. I do see Julie with her hand raised. So yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Great, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to wrap up the discussion as we move through the final minutes of the meeting. Just really appreciate the discussion. And I did want to reiterate that we definitely have anticipated these questions as well. And it's coming together. I think we'll just spend some time individually with some of the members of the committee who have asked the questions. We'll work through it and, you know, identify where we do have gaps that will need additional analysis. But then focus on where we've been over the last year, which is truly a milestone. We were in a pretty intractable place on these policy considerations just even a year ago. So as in all things Tahoe, there are many different moving parts, many different implementation partners, but getting everybody around the table, we feel like we're going to be able to deliver on the legislative intent of the resolution. And then we'll highlight where more work needs to be done. So appreciate all the great discussion, the excellent questions. We'll flesh it out and we'll be coming back to you at the board meeting in May, which will be just a couple of days ahead of that oversight committee, just to show you a preview of that presentation.
Good. Great. Thank you, Julian. I was going to ask that we spend the May meeting, have an EIP committee meeting for that so we can see what that final presentation looks like. No, I think that's great. I think the most important thing that I'm mindful of is I recognize that the technical group did a lot of work, and I really appreciate that. But we need to make sure that everything's married up before the May 27th committee meeting. Don't want to present something that's maybe sound on the technical side, only to find out 2 months later it doesn't work on the policy side. That won't be a good strategy. So we need to have everything kind of lined out. I guess before I move on, Bill, I see that you've raised your hand, so I want to make sure that you have a chance to speak as well. So go ahead, Bill.
Thanks. I remember to unmute myself. I want to make it clear also that I really do appreciate what staff has done. I mean, I've had a great deal of support from staff through the bi-state process, through all the subcommittee work that we have done on putting together the priorities. So my comments were not critical. It's just that I'm nervous about going into this without some of these questions that Ashley raised being answered. And also it is a bit shocking to me that here we are and there's no public comment on this issue. And yet we say everybody's on board. And so, I mean, nobody from the league, no one from the Visitors Bureau, none of the other folks that I know that are working on this thing hard on this stuff, but no one bothered to make public comment, makes me nervous. I mean, there's got to be more going to those legislative committees with the strong public support we talk about. Yet we as committee members kind of have our own little private conversation here with staff on this committee, and I'm surprised that none of the other groups have bothered to even say, yeah, we like what you're doing, or no, we think we need more of this or what. After all, there's a lot at stake here. So that's just my observation from the lack of public comment.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And yeah, certainly for the legislative committee and the next May committee for the board, it would be very good to make sure that we have all of the stakeholders, not just the sort of the agency folks, but all of our stakeholders on board with this list. Very good point. This is an informational item, so there's no action required. I think I really appreciate the comments from the committee. Julie and Nick, did you get the comments? Any questions on the comments, or do you need any clarification?
I just really appreciate the direction, and I think we'll keep moving forward and follow up individually before we get back to the meeting next month.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Nick. Really appreciated the presentation and being on hand to answer our questions. So with that, again, it was an informational only, so no actions needed. We'll move on to item number four, which is committee member comments. Does any committee member have any comments? I'm scrolling. I don't see any hands raised, and I don't hear anybody. So with that, we'll move on to item number five, which is the last chance for public interest comments. And so that's our final item of the meeting. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee, please raise your hand now, either by clicking the raise hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing star 9, and you'll be called on and unmuted by TRPA staff. So Maria, do we have anybody in the queue for the last public comment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Gavin Feiger, if you'd like to address the committee.
Oh, yes. Please go ahead, Gavin.
Hey, good morning there, committee. I just, you know, listening in here and wanted to respond to Mr. Yates' comment there. You know, the league, we've been working on this through all the channels, the bi-state consultation, TTD board, which our CEO Darcy sits on, and following all the TRPA meetings. We didn't comment, you know, just we didn't have comments prepared. There's nothing really new or specific here to comment on, but do want to make sure that the committee and the governing board knows and the public out there that we are tracking this and deeply involved. So that's it for now.
Great. Thank you, Gavin. Appreciate the comments. Maria, anybody else for public comment?
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to make public comment.
Okay. Well, thank you. And with that, I will go ahead and close the public comment. And then that will basically take us back to our last item, and that's the adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Have a motion. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you. We're adjourned. I